In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bad Boy's right in this case, in particular.
Really Bad Boy.
Dude. It is the final hour of the Chris and Amy show. Brad Young's in, Chris Ranji. We've got Gas House Gang coming up at 12. So last, I don't know when we talked to you about it.
Earlier
Brad,
this year.
Was it earlier this year?
Yeah, it was earlier this year.
So earlier this year, we found out about the fluorescent police officer who was pulling over women and going through their phones and finding nude photos on their camera rolls, because that's, you know, people do that in private. And he was locating these photos and he was sending them to himself, or he was taking screenshots with his phone of their nude photos, which is the exact same thing. I mean, basically, it's the same thing. At any rate, he was doing this between February of 2024 and May. So for a few month period, he was pulling over these women and doing this. Well, he's in federal court now, and he has admitted to doing this, to retrieving the nude images from women's phones. And, you know, when we talked about this with you, we were going through the legal aspects of it. And the one thing I do remember you saying before we get to the awfulness of this guy, what we talked to you about is giving your phone to a cop who's pulled you over.
Never.
So first things first, this is a public service announcement.
Yes.
Don't. Ever.
Don't ever. And I know I've got it on mine. I've got my insurance card in air quotes on my phone. But if you're pulled over and the police wants to see your insurance, here's exactly what you do. You take a screenshot of it and you say, "Officer, what is your phone number? I will text you this photograph of my insurance card." Because by giving the phone to the cop, you have now, in essence, allowed the police officer to search your phone. It's like this. Let's use a different example. If you're in Goodfellas, all right, and you've got a body in the trunk and the cop pulls you over and you say, "Sure, officer, take a look in the trunk, whatever you want, pal." And he pops open the trunk and sees the dead body. Now, I'm not suggesting that people are going to be having criminal activity on their phones, but the point I'm making is that when you give that phone to the police officer with unfettered access, he or she can look for anything. And in this instance, thankfully, he was using it for malicious purposes. And I say thankfully because he could be prosecuted for that. But if you had evidence of criminal activity on your phone that wasn't malicious by the police officer, that police officer could arrest you on the spot because you have voluntarily allowed the cop to search your phone.
So he can't... He can't go through your bank account because you probably have your bank websites on your phone. And I would imagine that you've got a password. It's password protected. Not allowed to do that.
No, that would be malicious. But
is he allowed to go through your camera roll at all and just look?
Well, that's a great question that no courts have answered, at least as far as I know. So in this instance with the fluorescent cop, I mean, it was obvious it was a Fourth Amendment violation because he wasn't looking for anything that could be used in the furtherance of a crime. He was committing a crime himself. Okay. So there's a clear delineation here of what this cop did was wrong. But if he pulls you over and you hand him your phone and the first text up there, and again, I'm being facetious for example purposes, but if there's a text on your phone saying, Robert, I'll meet you at the bank to rob the bank, all right, the cop can then act upon that. That's not an unreasonable search and seizure because you have voluntarily given him your phone.
The reason I asked the camera roll question is, what if the first photo is evidence of you committing a crime in the moment? Can they take that photo and say, forward it to the FBI or whatever, I have probable cause this person may have committed a crime?
I think at that point, again, courts have not addressed it. I think legally, I believe that that would be upheld as being constitutional because you voluntarily gave your phone to the officer.
Now, let me ask you this question, because we started this by saying, do not ever, under any circumstance ever, give your phone over to a police officer who's pulled you over. You said ask for his or her number and text them the insurance card if that's what you have digitally, right?
What if they
refuse to do that?
Well, that's the beauty of, and I've always been an advocate of body cams. I think body cams are a fantastic feature, both for the protection of the officer and for the protection of the person who's potentially a defendant. So I would make it very clear, officer, I'm telling you, take out your phone. You could also do this. Officer, take out your phone and take a picture of my insurance card without me physically releasing my phone. If the police officer refuses, then at that point, if he tickets you for failure to produce your insurance card, that would be an absolute defense to that charge.
So what if they don't have their body cam going? They refuse to take a photo of it or allow you to text it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you still show it to them anyway, but then you try to fight it later and say, hey, I tried.
Nope. Here's
he
an
wouldn't
easy,
let me do it.
Here's an easy fix. All you have to do is turn on your own video camera, like you're taking a selfie, and then your own phone is recording it. And you say, officer, now that I'm recording our conversation, I'm again telling you, please take a picture of my insurance card. I'm presenting this to you for you to photograph. And are you, officer, refusing to take a picture of my insurance identification? And if the officer says yes, you now have that saved on your phone. The police cannot confiscate your phone. There's no probable cause to take your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you've preserved evidence that will be an absolute defense to that charge.
Okay. So now here's what Julian Alcala, who is 30 years old, and he is the former police officer out of Florissant, here's what he did over that course between February and May of 2024. He would pull over and did pull over multiple women, told them he needed to take their phones to his car to retrieve their insurance information. He would then go through the phones, look in the camera rolls, find nude images. He would take a picture of it with his own phone, and then he also forwarded one video of a victim to his phone and attempted to delete evidence of that text. The victim discovered the video and then contacted the FBI, which is how this was discovered
exactly.
In the first place. That is, read that from the Fox 2 story online. That in itself is criminal. So he's going to be sentenced in March. It is a maximum sentence of 1 year in federal prison and a $100,000 fine.
Per count. And there's 20 counts. So he's potentially looking at 20 years in prison. Now, I don't think the judge will ultimately do that. But if you add up 12 counts or 12 months per count, there's 20 verified instances where he did this. This guy could be in prison a long time.
So if he's pleaded guilty to those 20 counts, what happens next? And, how light do they go on him as a result of him doing that?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, they're going to take into consideration that he is a police officer. Police officers generally get some breaks, like it or not, because of their public service. The sentencing has been scheduled for March of 2026, and at that point, the judge will sentence him. I think that he'll get a sentence somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 10 years, with eligibility of parole probably a whole lot less than that. So that's what I anticipate.
So it's interesting you say that, because we know that police officers get the benefit of the doubt a lot of times when it comes to court. But in a case like this, it should be the opposite, because this is a person who has abused his authority.
True.
So why would the penalty not be stiffer for somebody like this?
Well, because presumably he hasn't been, we have no evidence that he was doing other things that were bad. So he presumably was being a good police officer. We have no evidence to the contrary. But here's also another issue that no one's talking about: civil liability. Each of these 20 victims are going to either have or will be suing both the police officer personally and the Florissant Police Department generally. When they're doing that, there's no qualified immunity for this on a civil liability, because the police officer was acting maliciously when he did that. And then the question becomes, does Florissant have liability due to failure to train or failure to adequately inform police officers that they shouldn't be doing this? That's going to be the real question.
Okay, so this is a person that civilly, she could come, or all of these victims could come after him.
Yes.
Well, he's not going to have the financial resources to pay them all off.
Him, it's irrelevant. It's the city.
Yeah, so it would be the city that would have to pay.
Correct, absolutely. Potentially would have to pay. So they'd have to prove, the plaintiffs have to prove, not just what this police officer did, because they're going to say, we had no idea he was doing it. But the liability standard is going to be looking at their training. Did they train officers not to do this? Did they have established procedures for how to obtain insurance information from a phone? And did this police officer follow those procedures? And did the city have a mechanism in place to ensure that police officers were following their training? That's where the liability is going to come in.
Is this considered, or should it be considered, a sexual offense? And it's not an assault, but should there be more weight on this charge, because you're violating somebody's privacy?
Oh, clearly.
And you know, I mean, it's different than setting up a secret camera in your house or in like a hotel room or something like that, but it's still a massive invasion of privacy.
It is. I don't see this as being considered a sex crime, because the police officer didn't actually take the nude photos. Okay. The person took the nude photos of herself, or someone took them of her and sent them to her. So the police officer wasn't actively engaged in any activity that would be considered sexual in nature. Literally, the only thing he did was invade the privacy of her phone and steal photographs of her. So I don't see this as being considered a sex crime. But as you can see, with 20 counts of this, potentially this guy could be in prison a very long time.
Well, that'd be a real shame if that happened to him.
Yeah, police don't do well when they're in prison.
No, they don't. And again, just so you know, for the rest of your life, unless the laws change, which I don't think they will, do not give your phone to a cop.
Never. Don't do it.
That's legal advice.
No. Well, no.
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
I can't be giving legal advice over the
radio.
You're
giving me advice.
I am giving legal principles for general consumption.
There you go. Dude, attorney speak is amazing, isn't it? It's just incredible. That is Brad Young. I am Chris Ranji. I mentioned the Gas House Gang is happening today, and it's Tom Ackerman and me. We're going to talk to Mike Farron at 12:45. Prior to that, we're going to have a conversation with Katie Wu, who's been covering the Cardinals for The Athletic for the last several years. Katie is leaving. She's leaving St. Louis. And she has announced she's going to be covering the Dodgers. She's moving to California to cover the Los Angeles Dodgers. We're going to talk to her after 5 seasons of covering the Cardinals and doing a fantastic job of doing that. So she will join us at 12:30 today. Mike Farron, MLB Network Radio at 12:45. That's the Gas House Gang, which gets started at noon. Until then, it's Brad and me on KMOX.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I don't know, man. Maybe I'm old, but I am anti-Waymo. Anti-Waymo. And if you don't know what Waymo is, Brad Young... But for people listening, it is a car service and it is a self-driving vehicle. It is basically an Uber. You get into it. There's no driver. It takes you to where you want to go. And I just look, I know we're headed that direction. I know that is that's going to be our future. I'm sure of it. I still don't really care for it. But this has been a thing that's been in California for a long time. They are expanding to other cities, and they are now trying 4 different new cities: Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and St. Louis. So Waymo is coming to St. Louis. So in the future, you will be able to book a ride on a Waymo, and there will be no driver when you get in the car. Now, Eric Schmidt had just tweeted about this maybe an hour ago. He's the senator here, one of the senators in Missouri, and he is touting it as a great advancement moving forward. And that's fine. I think people are a lot of people are excited about it. I don't particularly like it. And I know the technology is going to improve over time, but we just saw a couple of days ago a Waymo with passengers in it drive right through a police standoff.
Yep.
They drove right into it.
Yes.
Like, so, it seems to be very easy to confuse these vehicles. And I know human drivers are imperfect, but at least you can talk to them.
Well, and more importantly, human drivers can be held responsible.
Yes.
All right. So here's the issue that I have. I'm not against Waymo or driverless cars in general. I just look at it and I say, we don't have right now the regulatory and the civil liability and the criminal liability legal structures in place to handle autonomous vehicles, AVs. We don't have it in place yet. Now, Missouri's tried to do that. They passed a couple of laws recently, including HB 1166, to cover these issues. But you still run this scenario. If a Waymo car is involved in an accident, who's at fault? How do you handle that? You can't arrest a sensor in a car for violating the law. So you typically can't hold the programmers or the creators. In this instance, it's Google, because Google owns Waymo. You can't hold them criminally responsible, but you can't hold them civilly responsible. And this creates an enormous civil liability issue that right now our courts and our legal structures, I don't think, are equipped to handle. So I think these regulatory schemes need to be put in place first, and then you introduce the tech. But in fact, we're doing it the opposite way because the tech is moving faster than the law can keep up.
So it looks like these vehicles, if all goes well, will start to be available in 2027. So it's not going to be anytime soon, but the company's already going to have to be here to get ready for that. I mean, you're talking about this from a legal liability perspective, which is absolutely something that has to be ironed out and considered. From a technology standpoint, I'm just a little, I'm still not quite on board with these. And there are, and I mentioned one of the reasons, because I do think that you're going to need, even if humans are imperfect, they still have the ability to detect nuance. They could still roll up on, for example, as I just mentioned, a police standoff situation, maybe a hostage situation or whatever it is. And a driver, a human driver, can go, maybe I shouldn't go that way. Maybe right. I should turn around. Maybe I should try a different route.
But the reverse, though, is also true, Chris. And that is with a driverless vehicle, you don't have a drunk driver. With a driverless vehicle, you don't have someone reaching for their phone and texting while they're driving. So is it?
I don't know if I've ever gotten into a car with a drunk Uber driver. I don't think. Maybe I have.
Maybe they could have been high and you didn't even know it. But in this instance, though, I think there, as you point out, the possibility of these narrow situations where autonomous vehicle is going to be problematic. I think there's far more areas where people are problematic. With impaired driving, with driving while sleepy, driving while tired, driving while intoxicated, driving while distracted. So I'm in favor of the tech. I just don't think we're ready for it from a legal standpoint.
Robin is watching us on Facebook and says, I know many disabled people in other cities who use and love Waymo. It solves the problem of service animal denials, which are so common in Uber and Lyft, despite federal laws. The real truth is these vehicles have fewer accidents than human drivers. That's what they say. And I know the data is there to back that up. It does not. It's just one of those things. I don't really care for it. And I know that eventually the technology is going to be way, way better.
Right.
I know that's
coming. But what I'm hearing from you is you have an emotional problem, even though the logic and the facts say that it's safer.
Well, I mean, I just saw again. I don't have to say, I can say it again. The car driving through a police standoff. What if bullets are being fired? You know what I mean? I know that is a very unique situation. Yeah. And it is very unlikely that I'll be running into that, but still, I don't like it. I do like the nuance that humans are able to detect.
There you go.
These cannot. So we'll see, but good luck to all y'all out there when Waymo comes to town. And Waymo can't figure out why the car in front of it isn't moving and doesn't go around it when you're stopped at a light because that car died and now you're just sitting there in a Waymo forever and ever. It's Chris and Amy show on KMOX.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of network busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
On Wednesdays at 11:30, we've got the Midday Midlife. And here on the Chris and Amy Show, because, you know, we've got people here in their 30s and 40s, and we don't want to call it, we don't call it your midlife crisis because you're not in that, right? But
not a crisis.
So
not a crisis.
It's not a crisis.
No.
But people are raising kids at sure. our age, and some have, not me, but some have younger children. And one of the issues that is facing families and children today is the use of devices, use of mobile phones. And we've seen a lot of schools around the country curb the use of these mobile phones because of various reasons, and how much screen time you have during the course of a day. There are studies that suggest it's detrimental to your development and your overall health. To talk about some of this with us is Laura Tierney, the founder and CEO of the Social Institute. It's an organization that equips students, educators, and families with skills necessary to navigate the social world. And Laura is with us now on KMOX. Good to have you with us today, Laura. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Well, so we just talked about a story, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, about setting a good example for your kids in terms of how much time you are on your own phone, and that by doing that, you can sort of curb their use. But what we really see is a thing called a digital double standard, where parents, they're on their phones all the time, but they don't allow their kids to be. So what's the challenge and the problem with that?
Yeah, well, we always say, you know, kids can't be what they can't see. And research calls this observational learning, right? It's where children, they learn and imitate the behaviors of those around them. And I feel like technology, especially cell phones, gets at the heart of this. And so digital double standards, I mean, they're everywhere. They're at the dinner table, and they're in the car when you're using your phone and maybe should be focusing on the road ahead. So especially as the rise of smartphones, you know, students are accessing it at younger ages, but even other devices like smartwatches and watching the television, like all these devices, parents can create a long list of rules, like, you know, no phones in the bedroom or no texting and driving. But ultimately, how you're role modeling that yourself is one of the biggest educators for kids.
So, but substantively here, Laura, Brad Young here, substantively, one could argue that there's a difference. If a parent is looking at their phone a lot for work purposes, that's obviously more important than a kid looking at their phone to see what stupid things their friends are doing. Okay, so substantively, I think we can agree there's a difference. But what I'm hearing from you, though, is it's not about the substance. It's about setting standards for your kids to follow. Is that a fair way to distinguish that issue about one's important and the other it probably is not?
Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, at the end of the day, every family is going to have rules, and that makes sense with adults guiding, you know, kids to be healthy, happy, and successful. But you get buy-in from kids when you have collective standards. And we've heard from students, we've collaborated with thousands and thousands of students over the years at the Social Institute. And students, these kids will say, I am more bought in to my family's standards when I know that, you know, the adults in my life are also following them as well. And so the real insight is collaborating on those standards and co-creating them together as a family.
And so, yes, there are going to be times when you have to check that work email or you have to stay a little longer on that Zoom call. And the world is a little bit different for how we navigate screens. But if you can align on those collective standards around screens at the dinner table, around screens kind of in the bedroom or after a certain time, you get the child's buy-in. And that is so important into establishing that responsibility and trust.
So that is what, you know, what Brad said, that you might have an important email or a text, or maybe you're going through a, you know, for example, here we have a show text thread, and maybe we're talking about what's going to happen next, and it might take a little bit of time. But if you're telling your child, hey, you can't be on your phone, but I'm going to be on mine. So how do you do that? How do you go about trying to convince them that it's okay? It's okay for me to be on my phone right now because this is important. How do you do that?
Well, the first step for any family, it does not matter if your child is 2 or 12 or 18, I recommend having a family standards agreement, something that where you have to reflect on, process, and actually write down what your family standards are. And you might be thinking, well, I already created that 2 years ago, like, and it didn't work. But the key is once you create it, you hang it in an area that's visible and you revisit it as a family. And you could revisit it every week. You could revisit it every month. But you talk about those standards together. There's a famous study that was done that talked about how, you know, parenting, half of it is being consistent and the other half is being responsive to a child as they grow and get older and unlock more responsibilities. And I feel like that's so important with technology, is it's ever evolving. And so we have to constantly look at our family standards agreement together and think about how it might evolve. And I just some examples of what to include in your agreement, right? Like, I know our family certainly follows a lot of these is, you know, at night, phones will charge in a common area, you know, rather than the bedroom, or no phones during meals, or we'll only text and share, you know, content that reflects our values. If we choose to get on social media, our accounts are going to be set to private. And so the key, though, is the entire family signs this agreement. And so everyone is responsible for helping each other live up to these standards together.
We're talking to Laura Tierney. She's the founder and CEO of the Social Institute. And Laura, when people are addicted to cigarettes and they're told to get off of cigarettes, they can't just stop the cigarettes, they have to replace it with something. So when you talk about, like, at the dinner table, if you just tell your kids, I don't want you on your phones during mealtime, and yet you're sitting around the table and it's stark silence for the next 30 minutes while the meal is consumed, you're not really replacing it with anything. So are you also then advocating that in place of us being addicted to technology, we invest more in the relationships with our family members?
100%. You said it so well. I mean, I feel like with every negative thing that you want to replace, there's a positive that you could, a positive habit that you could build in. Like, instead of just like no screens in the bedroom, you know, the positive is replacing it with a family charging station, you know, in the kitchen. Or instead of just like no screens during meals, maybe you build out like a family kind of conversation question bowl. Or there's cards that you could buy online or on Amazon for like $5. And it gives you all these questions instead. So instead of just, hey, how do we confiscate something and leave kind of a gap or a hole there? I know our family leans into those like family conversation starters at dinner. And it, like you said that key word earlier, of just like it builds trust and connection. And that is, those I feel like are the ultimate ingredients that, like, when something goes off course in the future related to technology, your child will come to you because you've built that trust and connection with them over many meals and over many bedtime routines and more.
So what do you tell a child when you've set these rules, and maybe they're already used to having their phone whenever they want, and now they've got this fear of being left out because they know their friends are probably talking to each other or doing whatever it is they're doing. And now you've got to say, yeah, that's okay. They're doing their stuff, but you can't. Sorry. So you're going to be left out. How do you navigate that?
Yeah, well, when you talk about your family's standards agreement, you have to hit that every family has different standards. And you might be at a different stage than another child, you know, could just with different values that the family has. And when I have the chance to work with students at different schools across the country, and when I'm speaking with them, I use sports as an analogy. And I talk with them about like kind of rookie varsity pro. And if you look at some of the great pro athletes, Steph Curry, you know, Serena Williams and others, they don't just go pro right away. You know, you have to kind of build up and there's milestones. And the same goes with technology. And so you might simply be at a different milestone than someone else in your class. And it stings a lot at first as a parent, and you get the tantrums, you get the, you know, well, mom, everyone else is on TikTok, you know, dad, everyone else, you know, is in this group chat. And I think that's really where that the consistency comes in as a family. Like, you know your child best, and you know the milestones that you want for them before they have, you know, certain access, and you really have to stay true to that. But talking with them, how every family has different standards, is so important up front.
Laura Tierney is the founder and CEO of the Social Institute. And Laura, it's chic today to blame everything that is wrong with our world on social media. That's a hip thing to do today. But from your perspective as an expert in this area, what specific issues do you see when in terms of children, young adults, teenagers? What are the actual issues that you see resulting from social media addiction?
Yeah, I mean, I talk with the students about how social media and tech, they can enable amazing things in our lives, but they can also derail our goals and dreams and priorities. I mean, I got 3 out of my 4 jobs thanks to social media and tech and following role models and connecting with mentors and tapping into my interests by watching certain YouTube videos and like learning and hobbies and more. But at the same time, you see students, you know, making posts that tarnish their reputation, or they're using it excessively. They're comparing themselves to others. They're now using AI to maybe take a shortcut in writing a paper for school. But for every negative that you hear in the news and more, there are a lot of positives. And so the phrase I use with families is like empower and equip instead of just scare and restrict. And instead of just talking about don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, like how can you actually use tech to control tech in our lives? And so instead of just saying like get off screens, you know, you're on your screen so much, how can instead it be like, hey, let's set up a focus mode on our devices, or let's set up a screen time limit. But think about what you could do instead of just what not to do. And I think you're speaking the positive kind of language of these digital natives, of these kids that grew up with technology, rather than just looking at it in a negative way.
So what about, you know, we've seen data or research suggest that there are cognitive effects for developing people, you know, children, if they are on the screens all the time, as opposed to, you know, reading a book or just interacting socially with other people face to face.
What
sort of differences have you seen there in kids who are going through that and who are maybe doing a better job of not?
Yeah, well, there's it's I think so important that you all are you're bringing that up now, because even just this year, there's more and more studies coming out that talk about the behavioral and emotional impact of using technology excessively. I mean, even there's this year, there are 3 major studies, tens of thousands of children, you know, in these studies showing that higher screen time use is associated with higher odds of ADHD, anxiety, depression, other behavioral problems. That was associated with more than 4 hours a day of screen time for non-school use purposes. So don't, you know, stress out if your child is using it for 3 hours a day or so on homework, but non-school use. I'm talking about like passively scrolling TikTok or mindlessly binge watching your favorite Netflix series. And so those are the kind of the passive consumption of it. is associated with those higher odds of those outcomes. And so again, I think you want to set healthy boundaries with your child, and above all, model it for them as well.
Laura Tierney, the founder and CEO of the Social Institute. This has been really enlightening. We appreciate you talking with us today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Laura Tierney on the show, Brad Young, Chris Ranji, and we have a person who is watching on YouTube. It's Paul. And Paul, you know Paul. Paul says working adults, and they put working in quotes, working adults still probably use their phones 80% of the time for distraction. And I think there's probably a lot of truth to that. Because I'm watching TV sometimes and I'll pick up my phone to get distracted because I'm not always fully invested. I could be doing a lot of other things and I still have this draw to look at the phone.
Yeah, it's called dopamine. And we're all addicted to dopamine. And when you're watching a movie, I've got a cousin who can't watch a movie unless she's on her phone the entire time. And that's a dopamine problem. She's addicted to getting this other information, even in the middle of a movie. And this is something that I don't think we as a society have addressed yet.
Brad Young, Chris Ranji, a few more moments to go here on the Chris and Amy Show. Then it's the Gas House Gang, which happens at 12. We'll be talking to Katie Wu, who's been covering the Cardinals for The Athletic. That's at 12:30. Katie, she's leaving us. She's going to Los Angeles to cover the Dodgers full time. So we're going to talk to her. Also, we're going to talk to Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio, Cardinals offseason, baseball offseason, all that coming up. Gas House Gang at 12 on KMOX. About to wrap up here on the Chris and Amy Show, and I got to tell you, we're so happy that you hung out with us today.
Thank you. Brad Young, my pleasure, filling in
for Amy Markscores, and she'll be back next week. Got John Hancock in with me tomorrow. I think that you're going to want to stick around. Not I think, I know. You'll want to stick around at 12 o'clock for the Gas House Gang, Tom Ackerman and me, Chris Ranji. We're going to talk about a lot of Cardinals talk, baseball off-season stuff coming up. As I mentioned, Katie Wu, who's been covering the Cardinals for The Athletic for the last five seasons, she's leaving town. She is now going to be the Dodgers reporter.
Yeah, but so for the Dodgers, though.
Back-to-back champs. And you know what? It'll serve her right if they never win again.
We can only hope.
But they probably will. They'll probably three-peat.
Oh, don't say that.
Because Katie's going there.
Don't say that.
And also, we have Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio, who's going to be joining the show. Any other legal issues we need to nail down before we say goodbye?
Well, there's always a lot of legal issues out
there.
What
was it that you said? It's not legal advice. It's what?
It's not legal advice. Here we go, Matt. I am giving legal principles for general consumption.
Good Lord. Legal principles.
For general consumption.
I mean, the audacity of you.
What?
Well, you're an attorney. I love attorneys and attorney speak. It's the best.
Yeah, it is the best. And I grew up speaking Star Trek jargon. So this is not all that different, you know? You just make up stuff that sounds really impressive.
Yeah, you talk. We have the Scott Bakula promo that we run.
Right.
Scott Bakula from St. Louis, yes, congratulating KMOX on 100 years. Mm-hmm. And here, you know, you are talking about, oh, yeah, he was on Star Trek. Like, no, that's Quantum Leap.
No, he was on Quantum Leap, too, but he was also Captain Jonathan Archer on Star Trek Enterprise
for
five seasons.
I mean, first things first, it's like, you know, what are we doing around here?
Well, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. You can be a fan of both, as am I.
You can, but it's like I bring up Morgan Freeman, and instead of saying, oh, Shawshank Redemption, you go, yes, that movie with Jim Carrey.
No.
What was the movie? Bruce Almighty.
No, listen.
You bring up Bruce Almighty. Morgan Freeman from Bruce Almighty,
if you
remember?
Pick on Star Trek fans, you're going to have a lot of enemies, I'm telling you.
So tomorrow, we want you to come see me. Operation Food Search is taking donations, and I'm going to be there tomorrow from 4 until 6 p.m. at the Hardee's in Valley Park. And we want you to stop by, make a monetary donation. We'll have stuff to give away. We'll have an opportunity to win tickets for Trans-Siberian Orchestra. We'll have passes for Winter Wonderland at Tillis Park. That's going to be until those are gone. So we hope that you will stop by tomorrow at the Hardee's in Valley Park.
And Old Town Donut gift certificates, the best donuts in St. Louis.
We're going to have those too?
I think so. It's on the list.
Oh, it is?
It is.
Oh, my Lord. I can't wait for that. All right. Brad Young, thank you.
My pleasure.
Coming up next, it is the Gas House Gang. Tomorrow, don't worry, I'll be back with John Hancock. But the Gas House Gang is next on KMOX.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.